Good morning. Good morning to each of you, and welcome to our time together in worship. It's good to see you out here on this beautiful Lord's Day. A little warmer than last week, but it's a good morning all together. And so if you need to, roll up the windows and turn the air on, please do so. But if you don't mind, turn your air on and leave your windows down. And so the air can come this way a little bit, maybe. Please. But seriously, we have come together here this morning to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is good to see you out here this morning. Again, thanks to those who have pulled this together for us, the deacons who are helping to park, and those seated here behind me helping, leading us in worship. And so I do thank them and thank you. A couple of announcements for you. First of all, the flowers that you see here in front of me was given by a member of the church in memory of Miss Irene. All of you know that Miss Irene took care of the flowers here for us all the time, and so these are here for her. The missions committee met yesterday, and we are beginning the discussions of when we might move into the sanctuary. But I will tell you this, we're really not in any hurry. We're going to take our time in following the guidelines that we've been given, but a few things would have to be done to the sanctuary in order to do that, and so we're just beginning that conversation. And so when we make those decisions, you certainly will know in time, but as I said, we haven't set a time, and we're really not in that much hurry. Again, the bathrooms are here if you need them. The offering plate, thank you so very much. The offering plate will be held down here as you leave, as it has the last 2 weeks. And let me say again, thank you so very much for maintaining your diligence in your tithes and in your offerings. With God's wonderful blessing, we're actually ahead in our giving from years past. And our giving is exceeding our budget. Typically, when we get to the June, July, August time frame in this part of the year, our giving starts lagging behind our budget needs. That's just sort of typically the way it's been. However, this year, that is not the case. And I thank you so very much for continuing your obedience. It'd be so easy to equate not coming to church and not paying my tithes and offerings, but you haven't done that. And so I thank you so very much for that. As we leave today, again, it will be the order that we've done in the past, and we're going to ask Dale and Juanita if they would be the first out, and then we will leave out as we have in the past. And again, thank you for your patience with that. All right, let's turn our hearts toward worship, and as we have done the last couple of weeks, I'd like to spend just a few moments in quiet prayer and preparing our hearts. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come and prepare us. And here you see in your bulletin a prayer that you might use if you desire. Now, let us be called to worship. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in His holy temple. We have come with shouts of joy to sing and to make music to the Lord. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship. Let's join our voices together singing, My Jesus, I Love Thee. joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, we join our voices together as we come here this morning to worship and to honor you. Thank you for this beautiful creation that surrounds us. As we are taught, we can look out upon this beautiful creation and know that there is a God. And then through your holy word, that special revelation, Lord, we come to know you personally as our Lord and Savior through the work of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we come here today to worship and to give you great honor and praise. And we thank you, Father. Now, as we turn our hearts toward this time of confession, holy and merciful God, in your presence, we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, and forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As I said last week, this wonderful teaching of assurance that we have in the completed work of Jesus Christ, it should undergird our faith and hold us up strong in all parts and all times of our lives. And from Colossians chapter 2, may their hearts be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Now, as we turn our attention to our intercessory prayer, again, we pray for these who have been on our minds these last weeks. Larry and David, again, are here with us this morning. Michael, Miss Merle has begun her treatments. Andy's here with us. I pray your recovery is going well. And my dad has tested negative for the virus and is doing pretty well, and so I appreciate your prayers there. But I must tell you what is really on my heart this morning that we need to pray for and about. We see Satan and his minions reigning supremely in many of the activities that we've seen over the last 12 to 13 days, 14 days. The chaos, the divisiveness, this is not of God. And if it is not of God, then it is by default of Satan. And so many are falling prey to his lies and to his misguided direction. In many places across our land, there is turmoil. And Satan is just sitting back and watching the destruction. This is when the church needs to stand strong and speak out against those things that cause divisiveness. Speak out against those things that tear us apart and not be a part of or a party to any of these destructive ways. I'll speak more of that in the sermon here just in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And how beautiful are your ways. And how your ways bring such a peace to the heart that submits itself to you. We thank you, Father, for your decrees that has brought together a church. And through the completed work of Jesus Christ, as he came here as a child, lived that sinless life, fulfilling the law completely. And then on that cross, paying the ultimate price for the penalty of sin that we incurred. But then, as in accordance with your decrees, Father, that third day he rose from the grave, and then in the weeks following ascended into heaven and is back in his rightful place at your right hand. But in all of that, he completed the divine work that you have given so that you would have a church. You would have a people called your own. We sit here today among those numbers that you call your own. We see in the Holy Scriptures, Lord, time and again, that covenantal language. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And we see in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation where that decree has been given. When you tell your son to come back and get your church, and then you will descend into the midst of that church and be with your people in flesh. Now you are among your people, us, and we do that by faith, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. But oh, that day would come, and that the peacefulness of that day would transcend all of this, and the riotings and the violence and the divisiveness and the destruction would just all cease in a moment. Oh, Lord, even today. And Father, we do pray for our country, the world. I mean, it's going on all across the world. As I said, let the church stand up against the wickedness of murder and racism and divisiveness. Let the church stand up and speak out and live lives of peacefulness. And Father, the peace that we pray for will not come through our government. That peace will not come through the protests. Peace will certainly not come through the riots. Peace has only one source, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ. So when we pray for peace of our land, in our land, we are actually praying for the salvation of Jesus Christ to come upon the people. Because truly that is the only place that we will find true peace. Father, we thank you for the beauty that we have of knowing you and your ways. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Let's join our voices once again singing this beautiful song. Happens to be my favorite Bible song. It comes to us from Psalm 23, He Leadeth Me. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, join me once again in the book of James. We are looking at the third chapter, verses 13 through 18. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Relationships. Fellowship. We humans are made to be in relationships. We were made to live in community. That's why we desire this so much. That's why we desire to be back here so much. Yes, we want to be back in worship. We want to come and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that worship is being in fellowship with one another. I've heard many of you say, just simply doing this, coming and sitting beside your brother or sister in the car and being able to chat across to your neighbor there, that had a fulfilling. And certainly it is, and it does, because we are made to be in these kinds of relationships. Now, I know everyone reacts differently in their relationships. My mic gone? All right, good enough. Now, this is really going to be a challenging now. I know every one of us reacts differently in these relationships. For example, I'm an extrovert. And so I gain my energy being with people. Some Sunday mornings when I'm feeling kind of low and moving kind of slowly, I come over here and I come and get in your midst, and my energy level immediately goes up. This morning, I was sitting over here on the steps while everybody was getting everything together, and I was just kind of sitting there kind of going, whew. But the moment I saw you pull into this parking lot, my energy level went up. Now, that's not true of everyone. Some of you are introverts, and being in large crowds drains your energy. Now, you like to be with people. You just like to do it in smaller doses. So we need relationships, just in different categories and different ways. We're meant to be relational. We were not meant to be alone. Why? We are made in the image of the triune God. It's as simple as that. And in the triune God, in the Trinity, there is perfect fellowship, perfect relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're made in that image. And so we're made to be in relationship just like he is. We, like the Trinitarian God, are made to be in that kind of fellowship. And this is what James is speaking of here in this portion of his letter, relationships. Last week, we spoke of the power of the tongue and how the power of our words can influence negatively or positively our relationships. What we say matters. We can use words to build up our relationships, and we can just as easily use words to tear down those same relationships. This week, James continues speaking of relationships. However, in this portion of his letter, he is couching that relationship in the topic of wisdom. Wisdom. With what wisdom are your relationships influenced? Is it a worldly driven wisdom? Or is it wisdom from above? As James says, by the conduct of our lives, we realize the answer to these questions. You can watch your life. I can watch your life. You watch my life and how I conduct myself, how you conduct yourself. And I can answer that question with which wisdom are you following? James here shows us that God's wisdom that will lead to healthy relationships, and he contrasts that with the wisdom of the world that leads to conflict. The teaching here given is certainly applicable to us as a body of believers in this church. How we relate to each other. James is speaking to us here now. With what wisdom do we relate to each other? But it also relates to us. It also is applicable to us as we live our lives. As I've said before, I hope you conduct yourself outside these walls of the church the same way you conduct yourself inside the walls of this church. James asked the question, who is wise and understanding among you? Possibly there are those reading this letter that have presented themselves as wise and understanding concerning the issues at hand. We really don't know what they are. James doesn't give us that background here. But he's writing to those and he's asking this question, who is wise and understanding among you? So evidently there are those there that act as though they're wise and understanding. However, their conduct does not match the wisdom that they are portraying. And so James follows up and says, okay, you who are wise, by your good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Evidently, the promoted wisdom has not been followed by a proper conduct. James says, act in meekness with your wisdom. Now, the opposite of meekness is what? Boasting. Which he mentions later in the verse. Now, we've said this before, but let's say it again. Let's be very clear about meekness. Meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness does not mean being weak. It is the idea of strength under control. It is used of a tamed horse with a bit and bridle in its mouth, which the horse is very powerful, yet it is submissive to the rider. A meek person may be very strong, but is completely submissive to God's Spirit. And so he says, show your works by the meekness of wisdom. Now, James here, in very rapid fire progression, if you will, gives us the attributes of a worldly driven wisdom and the attributes of a wisdom from above. And so let's look at those attributes. First of all, the positive of God's wisdom. God's wisdom is first a pure wisdom. Without purity, it is not a wisdom from above. Purity, the Greek word here means to be unmixed or untainted. Now, this can certainly and should point to a moral purity. But remember, James is a pastor and he speaks about actions. And so in context here, it means to be free of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. So when he says to be pure, he is saying that we should be free of any kind of jealousy, of any kind of selfish or false ambitions. James is speaking to our motive. James is speaking to our motive. What is our motive here? If we seek wisdom to use it for our own advantage, it is not pure, and that is not a godly wisdom. Our motive for seeking wisdom or for using wisdom must always be to glorify God and to build up the person to whom we are speaking. Our wisdom must be used in the context of a body of believers or as we live our lives to build that person up, to better that relationship, but we do it with the motive of glorifying God. That's our ultimate motive. Second, godly wisdom is peaceable. Peaceable. Seeking peace in relationships. Now, this is a major theme throughout the Bible, peace. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And see, here is the crux of what we see going on in our world today. The world's desire for peace in some people's minds is gained through rioting and destruction. That's not peace. And as I said at the very outset, only Jesus Christ can bring the true peace that we desire. If one is stirring up trouble over petty issues, one is not acting in godly wisdom and is not striving for peace. Now, We should never compromise doctrinal purity, only essential truths. Sometimes, as we see in Romans 13, in order to have peace, one must use the sword. So sometimes when we stand up for the truth, it may have an arguable approach to it. It may have a non-peaceable look to it. But standing up for peace sometimes takes a strong hand. Godly wisdom is peaceful. Thirdly, godly wisdom is gentle. If there is to be peace, that must be accompanied with gentleness. The one who is gentle knows how to make allowances, when not to stand up for my own rights, how to temper justice with mercy, being gentle. This is one of Jesus' great encouragements as we read in Matthew chapter 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly. Gentle and lowly. Peaceful. Was Jesus weak? No. But he was gentle. He was gentle. Fourthly, James says godly wisdom is open to reason. Now, we have to be careful here because the Greek word actually means to be easily persuaded. Easily persuaded, already inclined to, already willing, you're predisposed to an idea, you're favorable to, and you're easy to come to terms with because you're already willing and inclined. However, this does not mean being gullible or being naive. One who is open to reason is one who is quick to hear and knows when to yield for the sake of peace, when it does not sacrifice truth. One who is open to reason uses their wisdom to see the clear path to take for the sake of peace. Next, we see that godly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Being full of mercy means having compassion for the person who is suffering. However, it also means showing compassion to the one who is suffering because of their own actions, rather than coming up to them and saying, I told you so. That's not mercy. Mercy is having compassion toward those who've caused pain on themselves. And showing mercy, you bear good fruits toward that person. And in James's writing here, we're getting very close to Paul's writing in Galatians when he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. James and Paul are very close here. And this fruit that we see here, this love, joy, peace, full of mercy, gentleness, peacefulness, as James gives it, this is building up our relationships, and this is what James is after. Building up rather than tearing down. Next, we have that godly wisdom is impartial and sincere. 3 weeks ago, the sermon title was The Sin of Partiality. Here again, James teaches that the Christian is to be impartial, not showing favoritism, not holding one higher than another, equality given to all, impartial, showing no favoritism, no prejudice. It's amazing how these sermons are lining up with the activities going on in our world today. You'd think there was some divine decree. And do we need this teaching today of impartiality? So many acts of racism, of favoritism, so many acts of violence toward another person, tearing down rather than building up. And we are to be sincere rather than putting on the mask of hypocrisy. Anybody seen any acts or words of hypocrisy in our culture today? Our world is filled with hypocrisy, fake news, treating a situation today this way, but tomorrow the same situation with a different person treating it entirely different. Hypocrisy. As I've said, hypocrisy means putting on a mask and playing a part that's not real. Actors, actresses, hypocrites, by the technical definition of the word. Integrity, sincerity, a pure heart. This is what we Christians must always show forth. Integrity, sincerity, and a pure heart. This is what James is teaching. This is what our Lord desires. Once again, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, let's turn to the negative. Worldly wisdom is filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Again, these deal with the hidden motives of the heart. Jealousy is a selfishness. Motive of a heart. There are selfish ambitions today, and we see the examples of this in this disorder and the vile practice of these violent riots. Now, as a side note, I've heard many of you speaking of this as we were gathered here this morning, so it needs to be addressed. Protests are one thing, but rioting and killing, those are practices of Satan. And we need to differentiate between a riot and a protest. Protests are allowed and protected under our Constitution. However, did you know that protests are also a biblical idea? Protests are also a biblical idea. We protest every Sunday when we come here to worship. We protest every Sunday we come here to worship. We protest by speaking the truth of the gospel against a dark and fallen world. We protest against the lies of Satan by preaching the freedom of the gospel message. We are protesters. That's how we got our name, Protestant. Because we are protesters. And the Bible teaches that. It does not, however, have anything to say other than the negative aspects of rioting. Back to our subject. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. The Christian is not to be jealous. If we hear that the preacher on the other side of I-40 has a bigger church and a larger attendance, and he's preaching the truth, we should say, praise the Lord. The truth is being taught. Instead of this worldly wisdom saying, I'm better than he is as a preacher. Why aren't these numbers here? Well, God has a place for all of us, as long as the truth is being preached. Worldly wisdom boasts and is false with the truth. Again, arrogance, boasting, self-promoting, this has no place in the church. And surely self-promoting and boasting will do nothing to better our relationships with our brothers and sisters here or with anyone out in the public arena. False with the truth. Again, our world majors in this. False with the truth. The world knows little about objective truth. The world at large knows little about objective truth, or as some may call it, the true truth. But hear this, those who stand in the public square or in the pulpit even and spout out half-truths are not the only ones that are guilty. There must be someone who listens. And the one who listens is just as guilty as the one who speaks the lies. Hold your speakers accountable to the truth in whatever realm you might find yourself. And then James, as he does not mince words and gives us the core driver of this worldly wisdom. He says, this is not a wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and hear this, demonic. If it is not of God, it is of Satan. There's no gray area. And so the worldly wisdom that drives our secular world is from demonic sources. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom." Judy was telling me in a conversation she had with her dad some time back as he was watching television and the speaker was saying whatever. He looked at Judy and said, "Are these people crazy to think I'm going to believe that? They've lost their minds." But yet how many are watching those talking heads and following that? Wisdom of this world has its source and powers from the demonic. No wonder the wisdom of this world fights so harshly against the church. We should not be surprised that the ways of the world stand in stark contradiction to the things of the church, because they're powered by two different sources entirely. Again, where worldly wisdom is followed, there will be disorder. Verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Satan loves chaos. He loves the disturbance of broken relationships. He loves pitting one segment of our society against another segment of our society. He loves it. And is the power behind it. And we see this in the turmoil of our world today. This world is following the lies of Satan. And it is destroying. But this is not to be for the Christian. This is not to be for the church. This is not to be for God's people. Verse 18 is our verse. Verse 18 is the one that should be the seedbed of our lives. "And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." His point is simple. You reap what you sow. It's as simple as that. Brian sowed corn over here in this field, and with the rain and this wonderful hot sunshine, it just grows a foot every day, it seems. Brian sowed corn in that field, and in doing so, he expected to see corn. He didn't plant corn expecting to see beans. If you sow peace, you will reap peace. If you sow selfishness and strife, you will harvest conflict. It's as simple as that. And know that this reaping of a harvest of righteousness, it is not accidental. That corn didn't accidentally grow. It's intentional. So is it with us in our relationships. It's intentional. It is an intentional act of sowing peace. It is an intentional act of sowing seeds of gentleness. It's an intentional act showing mercy and bearing good fruits. To build good relationships with anyone, it has to be an intentional act. We, the church, must be about sowing good seeds, about building fulfilling, thriving relationships, yes, in the body of Christ here among us, absolutely, but also in the world out there. How will the world see anything of Jesus Christ if they do not first see it in you? Worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom. It is of Satan. Demonic. Godly wisdom is from above. And so let us be diligent in pursuing that godly wisdom. Let us be diligent in showing forth that godly wisdom that Jesus Christ purchased for us. Let us bring to bear that wisdom in our lives, in our relationships. Again, verse 13, the end of verse 13, he says, by his good conduct, let him show the works of meekness of wisdom. Let us see the works of wisdom in your life. And as redeemed people bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, let us be people of godly wisdom. And let the world see that wisdom in us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful gift of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Spirit, teach us this wisdom of James, which James talks about. Grow us in this works of righteousness. Let us harvest and be those that harvest that beautiful work of righteousness. Let it be seen in our lives. And let the world know that we who are believers stand against the wisdom of the violence that we see around us. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Let us close our time together as we sing God of Grace and God of Glory. Lord's benediction. May grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen and amen.